Welcome back, WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and WNST Baltimore Positive. Don Moeller's here. We are at Jennings Cafe in Yomps. We're going to be here for the Craft Beer Festival in a couple weeks as well. Don, I have been remiss. We had a Baltimore County executive out. We now have Paul DeBerzy out from GBC. We have not said two of your favorite words, and it's that time of the year. Restaurant week. How did you not mention restaurant week with Johnny O? How was that possible? I forgot.
I think that's where Steve is today.
Steve gave me the whole restaurant week menu here, so I got those. This is one of my favorite things. Watermelon salad. It sounds funny. Just get it, okay? Peach salad. That does not sound funny. That's awesome. What I want to get, though, is the chicken and lobster, pan-seared chicken breast, lobster shallots, bell peppers, light sherry cream, herb roasted potatoes. That's it. Restaurant week. We're in Catonsville. Paul DeBerzy here, GBC, and Don Moeller. We talked sports last segment.
BaltimoreCountyRestaurantWeek.com. So folks can go on, dine out nonstop.
He is dangerous with that phone.
And it's a couple of weeks.
He's got that phone. He can find anything in
it. And it's a couple of weeks. It's not a week. It's like 19 days.
You know what he did to the county executive last week? He called 311 in the middle of the show to see what happened. And you know what he said? It's not my problem anymore.
but Johnny, as opposed to me, actually knew what was going to happen as they're going to get 3-1-1 up and running. All right, Nestor, go ahead.
We did soccer, and I want to do baseball, and I want to do Preakness with you because at the end of this, we went long on soccer, and I was bleeding my heart, and you're bleeding your heart about the World Cup. The Orioles and the Leafs 2 years from now. And look, in the first segment, I did talk about the history of what Governor Schaefer found because we all praise Mayor Schaefer. What he found was, here's Harvard Place. They're taking your football team. They're trying to take your baseball team, right? I mean, all that was going on. Now it's 30 years later, and the stadium's now 30 years old, and we've got to do another lease with John and Lou Angelos, who I know are on your board at GBC. Obviously, I'm not big fans because I've been dealing with this for 25 years, but I don't want them to move the team. I want to see a long-term lease. I want to see prosperity for the Orioles. That's what begat Free the Birds, much to their chagrin 13 years ago, but I want more prosperity for my city and for the franchise than we've had. We all do, but I don't want them to leave. And I think all of us are concerned about that because the door is open right now.
Well, and for me, and Paul, I really want to hear your take on this. For me, it's generational. And Nestor knows he and I battle about the Orioles, but the Orioles are just too much a part of my soul, too much a part of my heart. Grew up with the Orioles, love the Orioles. Went nonstop as a youngster, have never stopped. I've now got grandchildren who absolutely are just big-time Oriole fans.
Grandkids' names Brooks.
One of them is named Brooks.
They named her after Mel.
One of them is named
Brooks.
One of them is actually named Brooks.
That's funny.
That's true. Number five, that's true. But all of my grandchildren are big-time Oriole fans. I said to you during the break, I think it's incumbent upon the mayor, the governor, everyone to be saying, folks, let's not wait until there's a month or two to go before this lease has been extended. We've got the best stadium in the United States of America. Case closed, not even worth debating. Camden Yards is the model. So what do we do, Paul? You're the chair of the GBC. What do we do to get the Orioles to extend that lease?
I feel very confident that they will. By the way, I bleed orange, too. I bleed orange, and I now bleed purple. I grew up with the Orioles. I remember 1966.
I'm not kicking you with my shoe, but I'm going to show everybody my shoelaces here. Just so you know what I'm working on here, right? That's purple socks and orange shoelaces.
My sons wore 5 and 20, and you know why they wore 5 and 20 for Brooks. And Frank was actually my favorite Oriole, but I feel very confident they're here to stay. They're good people working on it. First, at the Stadium Authority, Tom Kelso, the chairman, Mike Friends, the executive director, great people. I know the governor cares about this. So you've got good people in the state side working on it. And I do feel that John and Lewis are good people. I know John and Lewis really well. They're bright guys. John is on our GBC
board. Please ask
him
to give me a call if he's no.
Good guys, lawyers. They got a very fine law firm that Lewis is involved in. John is a great young guy. He's on our board. They care about Baltimore. So I think things are coming along. And I think both sides have a great vision about Camden Yards, which is really exciting. They want to make it into more of what you see in Atlanta and some of the other cities where you've got like an entertainment district surrounding the ballpark. And I'm proud of DLA. We've represented the Braves and some other teams. And if you go to Atlanta particularly, and actually David Cordish has done this in some cities, I think St. Louis, it's not just a ball game, but there's all sorts of activity.
Right.
And I know that both John and the Stadium Authority have that in mind for Camden Yards, and I could just, we could picture it. It would be great. And I think that'll be part of the lease discussions. So,
well, I did 30 ballparks in 30 days 3 summers ago, so
right.
I had an experience in every place. And I know the difference between Oakland with, you know, rats in the cellar and Yankee Stadium and what you're competing with in the modern era. The Atlanta deal is a unique thing, and I was talking to Johnny O about that, about the moving from the city to the county in Atlanta and Fulton County and what happened down there in Cobb County. But what happened was there was a huge plot of land like Owings Mills, let's say in our community, which was a failed mall, which was not different than our community. And they said, let's put the stadium out there because that's where, quite frankly, the white people that go to the games are. That's people don't want to drive into the city. I don't know what that's done to Atlanta on a summer night. I know it's probably made it a lot easier and a lot more profitable for the people that own the Braves and bringing a team out to the suburbs. I don't want to see the Orioles in Bel Air any more than we wanted to see them in Columbia 30 years ago. But there is this feeling of we must. This goes back to the GBC. Probably this is where it brings it full circle. If we fix the city properly, everyone will want, and we fix the team, and we fix the ownership, and we fix what's going on the field, and we bring back consumer confidence, not just in the baseball team, but in the whole experience, that is Renaissance 2.0 for Baltimore, as I would see it.
What I say to Nestor, Paul, and where this connects to Baltimore Positive, and if folks say, well, you know, you're talking sports, supposed to be Baltimore Positive, I think the sports scene is one of the keys. I view it as...
It was the catalyst in the 90s.
You know, you've got all these pieces, and if we start to get 30, 40,000 people going again, it benefits the restaurants, it benefits the housing community around there, it benefits the business community. So it all matters. It all matters. And I just, to you as a business leader, I'm encouraged to hear you say that you're confident. I think those of us who follow the team feel pretty darn confident about the future of the team. I mean, one of the things that, and Nestor and I go back and forth about this, it's very clear to me now that we have a new direction. You'd have to be, you know, on another planet not to see that things are being run differently in terms of player development and others. So hopefully that leads to a better product on the field.
By the way, I have confidence in that as well. I haven't said much this summer, but it's obvious that at the this is what they've lacked for 30 years.
Yeah, they actually have someone in charge with a vision. Now let's jump back for a minute because I know, you know, we're in the final segment. We always are running up against the clock. Talk to us, educate us and our listeners about Greater Baltimore Committee. I mean, people hear GBC, they hear the Economic Alliance, they hear the Downtown Partnership, all groups that are working to better Baltimore. Sort of give us a tutorial about how those things work and how they work together.
Well, but I'm going to go back one step and then I'll answer your question, Don. I couldn't agree more about sports, economic, but also just psychically.
Yes.
And we had it with both teams. Remember when Adam Jones ran around and we won the division? And remember when the Ravens won the Super Bowl? My kids went, my wife went. That place, Jacoby Jones said it's like the Mardi Gras times 10. Those things bring people together, black, white, young, old, rich, poor. Psychically, a community needs that. So,
well, if you'll remember picking up on that, Nestor, you'll remember it vividly because we were down at the parade when Kevin Kamens was there. But the Ravens really dodged a bullet that day in that they had no, and we've spoken to folks out there, they had no idea
when they opened that stadium. Think it was gonna be that big.
They thought maybe, I hope it doesn't look bad. I hope we can focus the camera on one end. And I can remember Nestor and I were down at the other end with County Executive Cabinets, and my son has taken my grandkids out there, and he goes, Dad, it's actually getting a little scary.
Right.
People
are
lined up in the aisles. That's the psychic part that you're talking about, the absolute ownership throughout the region.
And how good people, the guy sweeping the floor says, Paul, didn't the Ravens do great last night? Hey, man, that's so. And also, so it's always
it's
been
a uniter.
Important.
It's a
beauty. That's the beauty of sports, okay?
Absolutely.
Now, GBC, I'm very proud that we have a great history. If you remember when we lost the Colts, very tragic, the GBC led an effort called Give Baltimore the Ball. And frankly, it was put your money where your mouth is. I was very proud. Piper and Marbury, my law firm, cut a check, I forget the amount, let's say $50,000. And they put money in to convince the NFL to come, and ultimately the NFL came, a lot of twists and turns. So GBC has always been a leader. we're very focused on the Orioles. We're going to support John. We're going to support the Stadium Authority, and I think it's going to happen. But
great.
We all have to push. And frankly, we need to go. We need to go out. We need to enjoy the team. We need to buy tickets, you know, buy suites. Let's put our money where our mouth is.
Absolutely.
So it's important to us. I mean, the Ravens, to the same effect, and I think, frankly, Dick would agree, you got to get out there and go see the Ravens, because the problem the NFL is having is people don't want to leave home. So we're encouraging people to get out, enjoy the team.
We're going to talk with Dick in a couple of weeks about that, because
right.
Dick's been a leading voice on that issue, that the greatest threat to the stadium experience is what people can do
at
home.
Well, he was saying that before
right.
it was a problem.
Long before
right.
it was a problem. Right. I mean, Dick saw that coming before it was a problem.
No, we got to get out there. I've got season tickets. And but no, there are a lot of different groups in downtown Baltimore. The Greater Baltimore Committee is to me, the premier group, great history since 1955, led by great people, worked on the stadiums, convention centers. We're not the Chamber of Commerce. We're not just a business group. And if you look at our board, we've got, you know, Reverend Al Hathaway, we've got Archbishop Lurie, we've got a diversity of people who are leaders in the Baltimore community on our board, and we care about issues beyond sort of business and Chamber of Commerce. There are other terrific groups like the Downtown Partnership. Kirby Fowler does a great job, very focused on downtown security, really like Kirby. And what he does, the Waterfront Partnership.
Well, tell folks.
There's different groups.
That's my neighborhood, by the way.
Right, with different sort of missions.
How are those groups? Well, talk about that. What's the difference between the GBC, let's take that those two groups, and the Downtown Partnership? I think our listeners would like, because they read about both, sort of
the
Four Dummies version of that.
There's a role for everybody to play. And frankly, we all coordinate. Don Fry does a nice job. Downtown Partnership is focused on downtown and security and that kind of
yellow
thing.
Shirts, as I see it.
Yeah, right, in downtown Baltimore.
I
now,
see them all the time.
We're the greater Baltimore region, mm-hmm. the counties and everything. We're dealing with public policy, public safety, bringing people together, lobbying in Annapolis. And then there are other groups like Waterfront Partnership, which is concerned about the waterfront. Great group led by Michael Hankin and Laurie Schwartz, good people. And so they all have a role to play. Economic Alliance, good group. They've got the county execs on it. You
right.
were on that, which we don't. We don't have political leaders. They do, which is interesting to have the county execs at the table with business leaders. So, and there is the Maryland Chamber of Commerce, which is kind of more lobbying. So everybody plays
so we've
a different
got these
role.
Groups. So here it is, Paul.
Right.
Here's where I think, and Nestor and I say this is where it's not only a learning experience for us, but for, you know, the increasing number of listeners that we're pleased that, you know, it grows week by week, who are listening, to say we've got all of these groups. It goes back. Isn't it interesting?
Where's the synergy
circle
in all
back
that?
To right. How does it all come together? And it takes us back to the beginning when the president wanted to dump on the city, and yet we've got these all of these great groups saying we believe in our city.
He did us a favor. All those groups. And by the way, we work closely with BUILD, a wonderful community organization. The leader of ABC, Associated Black Charities, is on my board, our board. There are great community groups. Baltimore is blessed with religious groups that get together and care. So there's beyond, quote, business groups, there's leadership all over Baltimore. And we do try to work together on issues like public safety. We try to coordinate. We're working very closely with BUILD, which is a great group. So I think you see coordination. It's not just alphabet soup. It depends on the issue, but public safety is something that brings everybody together because it's such a big problem.
Well, and absolutely a big problem. As you said, I think we're all encouraged by Commissioner Harrison. I think we believe better days are ahead. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take people in the communities. It's one of the criticisms that occasionally comes up about the Greater Baltimore Committee is that in addition to focusing on the big projects, the bricks and the mortar, that the GBC ought to be more community-based. What do you say to that? Or do you see that happening more and more?
I do see it happening because, and there's some great developments happening. Our House by the great Thibaut Mannequin. I mean, there's great things happening in the communities. Pete Hammond, who works in the city, great guy. He's very interested in community development and what's happening in the neighborhoods. So you see that. I mean, we can't be all things to all people.
Right.
But, you know, Baltimore, the Baltimore region is rich with those kinds of experiences, and we try to support them. So community groups, again, if you look at our board, we try to have everybody at the table talking about common problems. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, before we let you get out of here, we can't let you get out of here.
He does a speed round. Here we go.
Without
making fun. Okay, we got it. Yeah, what your favorite color is.
Well, okay. Yeah, we call it the lightning round. But Harbor Place. What should happen with Harbor Place?
Well, I'm proud to say we've got a work group. Don Fry and a number of people were very focused on it. It's in receivership. There's a judge. It's very important. So we're watching it.
If you could sit down and you could redo Harbor Place, and it's your opinion. I don't want you to speak for the GBC now. This is Paul Tiburzi. If you could sit down, what would you like to see the next rendition of Harbor Place be? What would it look like?
I'm only speaking for me, right. And I don't know what that's a great question, Don, because somebody said this, that Harbor Place served its purpose by being there in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And it did its thing, and now you've got to turn the page and do something else because it brought people downtown. I'm not sure what the something else is. I do know that, we have great developers like a David Cordish, who I adore. Great guy, cares about Baltimore. Imagine if a David Cordish got that and could do things with it to interact with the Power Plant Live or Harbor East, thanks to the great John Patarakis, rest in peace. So turn the page, and it isn't clear to me what you do there. It's a great location.
But we need something, right?
We need something, but I guess my point is...
It needs to bring people. It needs to be attractive to young, old families, black, white, east, west, tourists. It needs to be attractive to everyone.
But it might be that you have to turn the page and not just do it again the same way.
Correct.
It could be you do different things.
And it seems to me that a key part of that discussion, and I keep hearing folks make it, is that it has to be attractive and inviting to Baltimoreans as well as tourists.
Why wouldn't it be a Baltimore boardwalk?
Why wouldn't it be the boardwalk
of Baltimore? Why wouldn't it be that?
Well, again, I don't know if I'm a leader. I would call up a David Cordish and say, David, do your thing, because that's what he does. Or a Tebow Mannequin. There are a number of great developers in Baltimore. Mark Weller at Port Covington. But I really like Cordish because he's right up the street, power plant. And guys like that, this is what they wake up in the morning. And again, David cares deeply about Baltimore. If I were a leader leading the effort, I'd say, David, what do you think we should do? They'd come up with 50 great ideas like power plants.
Concrete suggestion.
Right. There you go.
You've got a recommendation for whoever the next mayor is.
Right.
Preakness. Pimlico.
Well, I think we're doing better. I think there were some dark times during the General Assembly, but I'm proud to say, the GBC led this. We had a great lobbyist, Sean Malone, does a great job. His wife, Lisa, good people. Don Fry, Sandy Rosenberg, wonderful.
Leading the charge. You think he's passionate about
it? He is my man. He is my man. And thank God.
Also, one of the great Oriole fans of all time, right?
Talk about bleeding orange.
Oh, my goodness.
No, and the mayor and so forth, Jack Young made. But anyway, I think we're doing better. And I think there's some ideas on the table. Alan Rifkin, a very fine lawyer, good friend of mine, great law firm, is representing the Jockey Club and their folks. They're at the table with Bill Cole. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think good people are doing good things on that. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, Matt Gallagher, maybe you can react. When Matt was in, I thought he had an interesting observation. His observation was obviously needs to stay there, needs to have other redevelopment around it, but that he was encouraged that people are beginning to scale back the scope of what would happen there. And to suggest that it has to be, billions is just not correct. That there are much more modest proposals that would allow you to save the Preakness and at the same time move forward in a very positive way.
I heard that, and again, I think the world of Matt. He compared it to the U.S. Open or the Golf.
Right.
No, I think you could see that. And the other thing we're blessed with is LifeBridge. Neil Meltzer, great leader. LifeBridge is an economic engine right next door. They've got some great plans. And imagine if you did the Preakness, the Black Eyed Susan, and you sort of ramped up. And then you did other things the rest of the year. And imagine if you had a couple of developers. Again, I'm picking on David because I like him so much. That's the vision. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Taj Mahal 365 days a year. It could be that you could save some money. I think that was Matt's idea, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great idea. And the Stadium Authority could do it. They're terrific. So cautiously optimistic.
Well, again, Nestor, we said in the beginning, smart people, right? We're going to have smart people on Baltimore Positive week after week after week. You and I are going to school. We're getting degrees.
All I'm hoping out of this is when 2026, when Brazil plays Germany down at the M&T Bank Stadium, that
we're going to be there together.
That I'm not pressed up like I was at Billy Joel last week with my face up.
No, you're
going to
be.
Glass,
so, you could be governor then. We're going to be there together. So
they call me governor or something. No, I'll be the governor of Dundalk.
Wait a minute. Before you sign off, you know.
That's here we go. Cheap shot. Here we go.
Governor Aparicio.
No, because before you sign off, because you guys both talked about it, and we never really did a deeper dive. I commented to my wife, and I think it's what you said when you talked about John and Lou having a different vision for Camden Yards. The excitement, you're right down there in the middle of it. The excitement and energy in this town last week when Billy Joel was here.
It's great.
Was just off the charts. I said, if you were following Facebook feeds, I said to my wife, we must be the only two people
not there
in the entire region who weren't out there seeing Billy Joel. It was exciting.
I'm Baltimore positive. You're going to take me into a black hole, because like that was a night to me when I saw 37,000 people downtown, and I thought, this is why the stadium was built, to do this 81 times a year. And I mean, even going back to the IRL, which was, I was never against the IRL until I saw it, saw what it did to the neighborhood.
Oh,
saw
the Grand Prix?
The Grand, yeah, yeah. Right. Like,
it was my client.
Okay, so I mean, I bought into that, and I lived in the neighborhood, and I saw my neighborhood ripped up for you know, 2 months.
Nobody could get
to
work.
No, it's fine. It would have been a wonderful idea had people actually come. And I thought, well, why aren't we saving the Preakness first? Why aren't we figuring out the baseball team first? We built that stadium as an economic engine to bring 37,000 people downtown 80 times a year.
Well,
this year it's happened twice.
Well, we can do both. We can multitask.
It just shows you how important it is.
Right.
Yes. Right? You talk about losing the Orioles. We've been talking about that for half an hour. That if there was never 37,000 people downtown ever again, that would be a problem.
But we can have 37,000 down for the Orioles, and then when they're away on the West Coast, we can have Billy Joel and Elton John and you name it, whoever else, the Eagles,
soccer
go
game.
Right down the list.
Okay, well, to end, again, I want to thank John Angelos and his family. They made that happen.
Right.
It was their vision. It wasn't easy because with Oriole Park, you got the beautiful field and the groundskeeper, I forget her name, nice lady, she would kill you if you stepped on her field. And John made it happen. It was a home run.
It was
home
a big run. Night for Baltimore.
Her name's Nicole, by the way.
Nicole, wonderful person. I stepped on the field. She was going to kill me.
I never met her. They don't let me in.
But it was a big night for Baltimore.
I think that's now you've opened the door.
I agree.
You've opened the door, soccer, concerts, and the Ravens are already doing it. You're going to see it at both. So stay tuned.
Baltimore positive.
I'm positive.
Camden Baltimore Yards, thanks for being cool here. Camden Yards did look pretty cool with a concert. I'll tell you that right now.
Paul, thank you.
Paul DeBerzy, DLA Piper, as well as the GBC Chair. We're at Yumps and Jennings Cafe will be here for the Craft Beer Festival as well. Big thanks to State Fair, Fadley's, all of our sponsors, including our conference with Damian O'Donnell.
Center Maryland.
Go to Center Maryland. Go to Baltimore Positive. We're out in Catonsville. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.